Psalms 23, God has really been speaking to me over the last year and a half, and it's really been a real comfort to me in the evenings when I'm attempting to sleep and laying down in my bed to pray through Psalms 23. So I pray tonight that it's an encouragement to you as well. So let's pray together and let's give thanks. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you never leave us or forsake us, that you so graciously lead us to green pastures and still waters, that you restore our soul, that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, that you prepare tables before us and our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in your house forever. And we're thankful. We're a thankful people, thankful to be your children, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was probably third or fourth grade, and I remember the Saturday really well. It was a basketball game at the Boys and Girls Club, where I grew up in Grants Pass, Oregon, and I had a game, and my brother had a game. We drove in two separate cars, and we were leaving, and my dad said that he was going to take my brother for a soda on the way home, and that I was going to ride home with my mom in the Ford Fairmont station wagon. And I sat down in the passenger seat, and I was mad as a hornet, unthankful as all get out. All I could think about is, why does my older brother get a soda while I have to go home with mom sodaless? So my feet were on the windshield, and in my anger, I put my legs back to my chest, and I kicked as hard as I could, and all of a sudden, the windshield cracked, and I cracked the windshield. And I went from feeling angry to embarrassed to, oh, I am dead. Like, I am really going to get it. But ungratefulness is really powerful, isn't it? When we get to that place where we look around at others, we look at other people's lives, and we go, why don't I have a soda, right? You may be in a place where you're looking around at people who are married and you're single, and you're saying, why am I not married? You may be in a place where you look at some other blessing that somebody else has, and you're like, man, I would really like that car, or I would like that spiritual gift. And our lives oftentimes can be filled with covetousness or envy, and we live in a culture and society where people look better online, don't they? You know, if you oftentimes look at a used car on Craigslist, it looks better online than when you go and actually look at it. And this person's life that we envy a lot of times looks better online. And my parents had a talk with me and said, why did you do this? And I said, well, I was mad because Matt was getting a soda. And they looked at me and said, well, if you wanted a soda, all you had to do was ask, right? And now as an adult, I realize how much it costs to replace that windshield. Like, windshields are not cheap. I knew it cost money at that point of being 8 or 9 years old. But now I'm like, man, what a pain in the butt I was, right? You know, to break the windshield of the car. And maybe as we come together on this Thanksgiving service, your heart's more in a place of wah, 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 wah. Here we go, another Thanksgiving holiday. God wants our hearts to be filled with Thanksgiving, not on just one day a year, but a lifestyle. And I would encourage you to make a list of things that you're thankful for in two categories. One, about who God is, his person. For example, he's faithful, he's gracious, he's eternal. Something about his person. And then make another list of his provision, ways that God has provided. And that may be we were able to buy groceries. That may be he's provided family, he's provided friends, he's provided good health, and to be careful to be thankful. But being thankful to the Lord will do a work inside of our hearts and our lives. When we choose to walk in thanksgiving, it unlocks joy inside of us. We're told in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we're thankful, we're in God's will. When we're not thankful, we're outside of God's will. So choose to be thankful whether we feel like it or not. Psalms 23 really focuses on thanksgiving in the person of who God is. So verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This is personal for David. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's one thing to know that God is the shepherd, to know that Jesus is the good shepherd. But David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David had personal experience as a shepherd. He spent a lot of time with sheep. He was a very good shepherd, a loving and caring shepherd, to the point where he risked his own life for the sheep, standing up for them to protect them in the face of a lion and a bear. And he says, "I have a shepherd, and I'm thankful for that. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want." Now, David isn't saying because Jesus is a shepherd that he's not going to have any needs in his life, but what he is expressing is that Jesus is enough. And he's thankful for the fact that God is enough. Because the Lord is my shepherd, that's enough. He is more than sufficient for me. The Lord is my shepherd. He shows how God is a shepherd for us in the next few verses. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." As our shepherd, he provides rest. He's thankful for the rest that the shepherd provides. "He makes me to lie down in green pasture." David finds himself like a sheep, being in a place where it's very difficult to rest. Do you ever find yourself in that place? Maybe even as you head into this holiday, you're like, "Man, I'm so thankful for the time, but I don't know what to do with the time." The other day on a day off, I found myself going, "What do I do with myself?" Which was a strange place to be in. I kind of ran out of projects and I was just forced with, I've got to sit and I've got to be. It's difficult to rest. And God in his love for us, he will make us rest because he knows that we need it. And David is experiencing that God is forcing him to rest and to lie down in green pastures. God wants to lead you to green pastures. Think about his restorative work in your life this year as he has led you to green pastures and maybe forced you to lie down in those green pastures. And then he leads me beside still waters. This is all speaking of the restorative work that God does in our lives. He puts life on pause and leads us to still waters. We don't always appreciate still waters. They're not exciting. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. Maybe the Lord again has forced us into this time of stillness and to say, "Okay, Lord, what are you doing? You're doing this restorative work in my life to bring me by still waters." It's to this conclusion, he restores my soul. The soul is the inner man. The soul is the part of us that's not seen. The body is seen. It's our mind, our emotions, our will. And we get beat up by our own sin. We get beat up by the sins of others. We get wore out with our busy schedules. I bet as we head into Thanksgiving, you're like, "Oh my, I need God's restorative work in my life." Right? As much as I enjoy this holiday, enjoy families and friends, I'm already wore out. My goodness, after shopping at Costco for a few hours, you need Jesus to restore your soul. Amen? All right? And God is committed to doing this. This is who he is. And as our shepherd, we can thank him that he brings rest to us. To what extent did Jesus go to bring restoration to our souls? There's a prophecy in Isaiah 61 about Christ's work, that he would heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. Jesus, God, became man in human flesh, humbled himself to the point of dying upon the cross and rising again so that he could heal our broken hearts, so that he could bring restoration to our souls. Be thankful for the restoration that God has brought into your life. And then also contemplate tonight, could God have you at this Thanksgiving service for a reason where he wants to speak to you and saying, "I want to restore you. I want to restore your soul." He's the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. So how does it happen that God restores our soul? As we spend time with the shepherd, as we allow him to take us to green pastures, as we allow him to slow us down, to bring us to still waters, then we come away from that time going, oh Lord, I feel restored. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We can be thankful for his rest, but we can also be thankful for his guidance. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's so many paths in life. Kids, junior high students, high school students, college students, adults, there's so many paths in life. And it's the paths of righteousness that lead to life, that lead to the whole abundant life that God intends. They're not the easiest paths, but they're always worthwhile. And here our shepherd is restoring us to say, okay, now I'm ready to lead you on a different path. I'm ready to lead you to the path of righteousness. I'm ready to give you power over sin. I'm ready to be able to give you discernment to where you can see that this situation's not right, that this situation is not the will of God. Begins to lead us down paths of how he can use our lives for his glory and take steps of faith. And it's all for his name's sake. Go, wow, we've got such a good shepherd. Look, he's provided rest, but he's also provided guidance. He's led us down these paths that he wants us to go. So we're thankful for his rest, we're thankful for his guidance, and then we're thankful for his presence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes, to be quite honest with you, I would really like Psalms 23 to end in the middle of verse 3. I really like the restoration part. I'm like, God, this is good. You can restore my soul as much as you'd like. Take me to green pastures. Take me to still waters. And one of the things the Lord really put on my heart this year with Psalms 23 is that the reason that he's restoring me is so that I can walk through the valley. The purpose of the refilling wasn't just for my comfort, but saying, okay, here comes the challenge. I want you to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'm going to be with you. The shepherd is with us. We can be thankful for God's presence in our lives in the midst of the valley. Has this been a really hard year? A hard 2 years? A hard decade? You're saying, I just feel like I'm in this valley forever. Jesus is with you. And notice the emphasis where I will walk through the valley. You're going to get through the valley because of the shepherd. Eventually, that valley is going to lead to the mountaintop, a place of perspective of who God is. My wife and I, we have this discussion about mountaintops and valleys. I really like mountaintops. She really likes valleys. And she has pointed out to me, all of the vegetation is in the valleys. And that's true, isn't it? When you get to these mountaintops, they're beautiful here in Colorado, but you get above tree line and there's not a lot of vegetation. The real growth in our lives happens in the valleys. Amen? The real reality of God's presence is birthed in the midst of the valley. If you're in the valley, be thankful for his presence. No matter what our circumstance, we can be thankful for his presence, that he will never leave us or forsake us. Notice that it says the shadow of death. How come death's only a shadow? Because Jesus went to the cross, he died, and he rose again to defeat death, to where the sting of death is removed, where death no longer has the final word. We see Jesus fulfilling all of these roles through the cross. He restores us through the cross. We can trust his guidance because he died for us. We know that our difficulties are just a shadow because Christ has risen from the dead. That trial, that difficulty, that valley doesn't have the final word. God's presence in our lives provides us with a rod and a staff, and that comforts us. The rod brings correction. The staff brings guidance. I'm not going to go through this valley without God's correction. We've learned that difficulty makes us susceptible to temptation and greater sin, and it's comfort to know Jesus is with me and his rod, his correction's there with me. Church, be thankful for God's correction in your life, right? You know, if you feel like, man, God's convicting me, he's challenging me, he won't let me off the hook, I seem to always get caught for my sin, that's the love of God, right? He's correcting us with his rod, and he's guiding us with his staff, and that actually provides comfort to us that we're not on our own. Church, Psalms 23, verse 5 is a thanksgiving verse right here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Or the presence of my in-laws, however you'd like to read that, as you prepare for Thanksgiving. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Probably you will face a prepared table tomorrow. Family members, friends, maybe yourself, you have prepared a feast before you. David had a lot of enemies, didn't he? He had to deal with Saul, who tried to kill him. And he's saying, part of God being my shepherd is I know that he's gone before me in these difficult relationships, and he's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This has become very real to me as I've done memorials and funeral services here at the church. Because when there's loss of a loved one, it seems that inevitably there's enemies that face that person in the days to come. It's the enemies of grief. It's the enemies of loneliness. It's the enemies of sorrow. And it hits me the most when it's children that have lost a parent for some reason. And I look into the eyes of the children, usually sitting right here on my left in the front row, as they're burying a parent, and believe in faith that God is going to prepare tables before them in the presence of enemies. Even though from a worldly perspective, we think of all the difficulties that are in front of them, God is greater and he is able to prepare tables before them. And I want you to think of your difficulty and think of God singing victoriously as the host saying, look, I have prepared a table before you in the midst of the difficulty. We may not see it in this life, but this is an expression of eternal life, isn't it? Jesus has prepared a table for us at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And it's all going to be organic. You'll be able to eat whipping cream till it comes out your nose and not have to worry about it, right? But it's God preparing a feast before us saying, you're victorious. You've been victorious over your enemies, and we definitely are able to look forward to that in eternity. So as you gather around your prepared table tomorrow, think about the prepared tables that God has provided for us. Jesus in his death and in his resurrection, as we celebrate communion in just a few moments, prepared a table before us where he says, come and dine, I died for you. Come and dine, my blood was shed before you. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. This speaks of God's blessing in David's life, that God has anointed him with his presence and his cup begins to overflow. Jesus said that he is living water, and if we come to him, that we ourselves will become conduits of living water. It's the overflow effect. Can you think of some ways maybe that your cup has run over? How the Lord has just poured blessing into your life and it's began to spill out on others. If you've ever been to SeaWorld and the whale show that they have there, there's those first rows where you're in the splash zone, right? And they kind of warn you, hey, you're going to get wet if you sit here because you're in the splash zone. And hopefully God's presence, the reality of the Holy Spirit is being poured into our lives, that there's people that are in the splash zone. There's people that are in the overflow of our cup running over. This is David's confidence that he's thankful for. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What can we be confident of as we go through our life and we look back and we go, what's followed me? Not my sin, not my stupidity, not my shortcoming, but God's goodness and God's mercy. we can be confident that that's what's going to follow us. That's what's going to be with us all of our days is God's goodness. God's going to be good and God's going to be merciful. And his mercy is new every morning. The confidence that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David looks to eternity and says, I'm confident that I'm going to be in God's house forever. That God has prepared a place for us. This life is good. This life is great. But it's nothing compared to eternity. And God is preparing a place for us. Let's make this practical and then we'll celebrate communion. I looked up a lady online today. Her name was Haley, and in 2008, she was feeling really depressed and feeling like her life was on a treadmill. Ever felt that way? Like, I'm doing life, but I'm going nowhere. I think we've all felt that way. She lives in Australia, and she went to visit a nun. True story. And the nun told her, you need to approach each day with gratefulness and reflection. Take the time to reflect and to be grateful. Haley's a photographer, and she decided to take a Polaroid camera and take a picture of one thing that she was grateful for each day, tape it into a journal, and write two or three sentences. Now, in researching her and looking at her website, 365grateful.com, I don't know if she's a believer or not. But what happened in that year through 2008 is her perspective changed by being grateful. By being thankful. She was in a place where she didn't feel like her husband was very romantic. I'm sure a lot of you ladies can relate, right? And was struggling with young kids and felt like being a mom was one boring task after another. And through this process of taking pictures, one day she took a picture of a meal that her husband had made for the family, and the reflection piece is she would look at the picture each day, and she noticed that her husband had given her the best piece of pie, the largest piece of pie. And she noticed that he did that every time. Every meal that he would give her the best, and she had never noticed that before, but it took place through reflection and being grateful. At the end of that year, her husband told her, for the first time in our marriage, I feel like I'm enough for you. So he'd gone through their whole marriage feeling like he was never enough for his wife. But as she started to be grateful and she started to be content, at the end of the year, he's like, I feel like I'm enough for you. And as she took pictures of her kids playing and reflecting upon that, she began to appreciate that season of life that her kids were in. Church, I don't know about you, but for this to go beyond just a holiday or a Wednesday night Thanksgiving service, I've got to do something practical like that. And you may look that up. You may look up 365 Grateful and make that your aim. I mean, this is a good way even to reflect on this last year is we live in a photo-driven society, don't you? You can scroll through your phone and look at pictures through this last year and take time to be thankful. You could go through this next year and say, I want to take a picture every day and save it with a little note of what I'm thankful for. Or it may be taking a list and every day writing down, this is the attribute of God that I'm thankful for, and this is something that he's provided in my life that I am thankful for. So let's stand and let's pray, and we're going to enter into communion and enter into Thanksgiving together. Jesus, we thank you for the table that you have prepared before us this evening. And as we celebrate communion, we reflect upon your broken body and your shed blood for us. And we're humbled that you're our shepherd. And would you make that personal to us again? And would each of us experience your love afresh? And may you just birth inside of us a great sense of gratitude. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.